The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And we have Dr. Vasan Basdeo on the line here. Good morning to you, Doctor, and welcome to Let's Talk Cancer.
Good morning, Tosca, and always a pleasure to be here and a pleasure to be in your hosting company, as always, as we try to bring education in a way that is palatable, meaning easy to digest to our listening audience here in our beautiful Twin Island Republic, Trinidad and Tobago. Today's topic, as I've mentioned, is on lung cancer. It is Lung Cancer Awareness Month. In the month of August. So, you know, the Cancer Society, we always advocating that education is a big part of what we're about. And we always believe if that just one person after today's program can make a decision that can prevent and even stop cancer in its track, we think we've achieved a lot. Yeah.
So as the Cancer Society is one of the places that has a mandate or a vision and a mission to promote healthy living and also the harmful effects of lung cancer. And of course, when you think of lung cancer, you immediately think of smoking. So let's go into the discussion from that perspective.
You know what?
Let's ask this question first, though. Is lung cancer always caused by smoking, or are there other factors that can bring on lung cancer?
Great, great question. And you know, 9 out of 10 cases of lung cancer are caused by cigarette smoking. So that's on average 85 to 87% around there. All lung cancer cases are caused by cigarette smoking, and that's a lot, you know. And persons would listen in and say, "Well, you can still get lung cancer if you do not smoke." But the thing is, if you do smoke, your chances are that 90% of cases almost are caused by that cigarette smoke. And the sobering thing about that statistic is that it isn't only from persons who smoke the cigarette themselves, that which is known as primary or first-hand cigarette smoke, but second-hand cigarette smoke and third-hand cigarette smoke also causes lung cancer. Let me say that again, second-hand cigarette smoke and third-hand cigarette smokes does cause lung cancer. And for those
Doctor,
who may be wondering, what is third-hand?
Yes, right? that's the question I'm going to ask you. I was like, can you pause for a second? Because this is the first time that I'm hearing third-hand smoke. What is that?
So, Tosca, if you look around in your studio right now, it's a lots of fabric in there for the soundproofing of the studio, right? So,
correct.
Exactly. A lot of the modern day living that we like, and we like our, you know, we're in the Caribbean, but we love these comforters and quilts and really fabric things and our plush things, you know, in our living rooms, in our bedrooms, and our drapes and curtains. We take great pride in that. But if Dr. Vasant is a smoker and he comes into your home, into your studio, and you weren't there, and I was smoking there, and then you're thinking, well, you know, he's gone. The long effects of nicotine and all the 80 or so cancer-causing chemicals that have been found in cigarettes still stays in the fabric in your environment, in your clothing, especially fabric. It stays there. And you sitting there in your goodly studio thinking, you know, I'm protecting my health and looking after myself. And you're being exposed to the cancer-causing chemicals in cigarettes by a third-hand effect. So it's pretty incredible. So second-hand, yes, we know second-hand, somebody's smoking around you. You're inhaling the same chemicals and toxins that are in these cigarettes. But third hand is something that we really want to focus on. And if I may jump in there to Tutsko, a lot of we see a higher trends of smoking in male persons. And a lot of persons, fathers and grandfathers, they know that the effect cigarettes have on their young babies and newborns and toddlers. And so they do the noble thing, which is not to smoke around the kids. But this is now where the evidence is, even in the clothing that you were wearing when you were smoking and you hold your child, especially because children, we want to hold them close to our chest, you know, this is where we are exposing them to the same chemicals, although you're not smoking around them. So some food for thought this morning already. Yeah.
Now, as you said, smoking is one of the I think the biggest factor for causing lung cancer. For those who are non-smokers and still end up with lung cancer, what are the ways, besides secondhand and thirdhand, are there other ways that they can get lung cancer?
Certainly. So just to be abundantly clear, smoking is not the only risk factor cause of lung cancer. Outdoor and household air pollution, particularly things like diesel exhaust fumes, things in silica, arsenic, asbestos, these sometimes occupational exposures, working in industries like the silica and the mining industries, asbestos. I recall there was a whole, when that came out, that asbestos is linked as a direct primary cause of lung cancer and other cancers as well. There was a huge occupational, and all the trade unions were very particular about ensuring there wasn't any asbestos in the environment. So these are other causes of lung cancer. And then finally, radiation exposure. Radon exposure is another one that causes lung cancer. But again, this only accounts for 10% of the lung cancer cases. And when we say the word cancer, you know, immediately everyone starts to think about breast cancer, prostate cancer, colorectal cancer. And while these may be more prevalent, like locally here in Trinidad, breast cancer, cancers of the female reproductive system, colorectal cancer, prostate cancer are more prevalent. Globally, every year, the cancer that is killing the most persons is actually lung cancer. So, you know, there's all this hype and attention to all the other cancers, but lung cancer remains the cancer that is killing the most persons per year. Tosca, you want to make a guess and a rough estimate to put you on the spot on to how many people die each year from lung cancer in the world? Put you on the spot.
It's a big number, but I don't have an exact number for you.
So yeah, I appreciate the honesty there. You know, that number is 2 million persons a year are dying from lung cancer on average, right? And every year we get between 2.5 to 2.8 million new cases of lung cancer. That's more than our island of Trinidad and Tobago dying each year from this cancer. And here in Trinidad, our local statistics also backs that up, that more persons are dying from lung cancer each year in Trinidad and Tobago. And that, especially the lung malignancy cancer unit, thoracic unit there in Montu, they're burdened by the amount of lung cancer cases that we have. And between 2003 and 2020, these bronchial and lung cancers were among the leading cancers diagnosed in men. And in fact, I say men because the statistics also show that compared to women, men face lung cancer diagnosis in a 2-to-1 ratio. So also those 2 million persons that are dying each year, the statistic is that maybe about 500,000 of them are women, and the majority, 1.5 million or so, are men. Yeah. So it's really, really sobering statistics this morning about lung cancer. But I don't want to make it sound like all doom and gloom. There's a lot that we can do. And once we understand these risk factors, like cigarette smoke, first, second, and third hand smoke, even things like the environment, being exposed to a lot of chemicals in the exhaust systems, particularly diesel exhaust systems, that is a direct cause of lung cancer as well, too. So think about the air quality. Think about your environment. Although Sahara dust and the bushfires aren't as cancer-causing, they're not as directly linked to lung cancer, they continuously irritate the lungs and the respiratory system there. So once you protect your lungs, you are basically protecting yourself from developing lung cancer. Mm-hmm.
So the conversation swings into now preventative care. And one of the things that I've seen popping up a lot, as you know, you talk about pollution and climate change and so on, and I would believe it's geared towards smokers as well, the concoction that's going around to clear lungs. Is that something that works, or are there methods of or things that you can do to clear the lungs?
Yeah. I'm not aware of the concoction, Tosca, but I know Trinis are very intuitive and very fine ways.
I will find it for you. Go ahead. I will find the ingredients for you just now.
I appreciate that. You know, listen, your lungs is like a system that is designed like balloons, right? And there's a muscle called your diaphragm muscle that acts under the lungs, and we actually thankfully have the ability to control our diaphragm. So you basically improve your lung function by strengthening your diaphragmatic control, which is the main muscle of respiration. Now, naturally, your body knows how to protect itself from foreign invaders in terms of bacteria, viruses, fungus, smoke, you name it, right? Dust, pollen. A sneezing is a way that your body gets rid of mucus and these things like that. The other thing, too, is you have all these hair from your nose all the way down. It protects and filters the air as it comes in. So when it comes to your lung and respiratory health, one, being in environments where the air quality is healthy is very important. So if you know that you work or live in an environment that is poor air quality, you have to take preventive measures such as wearing filters, masks in your workspace. These are some of the industries require you to have these very well-fitting masks that there aren't any seals to prevent these cancer-causing chemicals that you may be exposed to from entering the lung system. Now, a lot of people, they hear the term and they think, oh, well, mucus, and they always have a clearing of the throat and they always have this cough. Now, if you have a cough, that simply wouldn't go away. Or you're constantly coughing up mucus, and even with some small specks of blood, having unexplained shortness of breath, wheezing, chest pain, hoarseness in your voice, or unexplained weight loss. That's not something to be going and just taking a over-the-counter concoction and think that, oh, this is just a cough that will pass. Many people might think it's just the flu or anything, but that requires an urgent visit by your family doctor, especially to screen and make sure that this cough isn't a chronic cough, especially, and symptoms isn't something of a greater concern or early signs of lung cancer. Yeah. Did you get that concoction there, Tosca?
Yes, I did. Actually, there are a few things that they say you can drink on a regular basis to improve lung health. And there are also foods that are good for the lungs. So I'll go through the concoctions first.
There may be some truths in it. Let's hear.
So while the lungs cannot be instantly detoxed, homemade remedies and lifestyle changes can support natural lung healing and reduce mucus buildup for smokers. Herbal teas and infusions, certain herbs have anti-inflammatory and expectorant properties that help soothe lung tissue and clear mucus. Recommended options are licorice root tea, reduces inflammation and protects the lungs, ginger tea, improves circulation, loosens mucus, and has antioxidant effects. Thyme tea acts as a natural expectorant to expel phlegm. Mullein tea, traditionally used to soothe inflamed airways and remove mucus buildup. Drink 1 to 2 cups daily, preferably in the morning or evening when lungs naturally clear themselves. And I have to preface this by saying that Dr. Basdeo does not, you know, what's the word you normally say with these things? It's not a recommendation from him. Of course, going to your health care provider and having a discussion on these things would be most advised.
We're simply sharing information, right?
Yes.
Once any clinical or medical decisions are to be made, that should be made by a healthcare provider that you visit. You know, look, Tosca, it raises a good question about anti-inflammation and natural remedies and natural ways of it. Because we cannot throw the baby out with the bathwater to what granny used to do when we get a little fever or cough.
I was going to say this because they also recommend steam inhalation. And this is something that your grandmother would tell you to do when you have a cold. Get a hot pot of water, put eucalyptus or peppermint or tea tree oil in it, and just cover your head and inhale.
Certainly. You know, so while natural remedies cannot cure or treat lung diseases like lung cancer or chronic infection, certain herbs and dietary choices, lifestyle habits, support overall respiratory function, reduces inflammation, and clears everyday irritants from your airway. So these are things that we shouldn't just say, oh, no, it's not, that's bush medicine. Mm-hmm. Traditional medicine and modern herbalism utilize a lot of anti-inflammatory chemicals. So for instance, you know, ginger and honey are actually two very proven, medically, scientifically proven things that improve both lung function and even that sort of nauseating feeling that a lot of people get with these cough as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the steam inhalations, when we worked in the pandemic, Tosca, we saw firsthand that patients use the eucalyptus, peppermint, sometimes salts in the hot steams, and it improved their airways and their passageways significantly.
Mm-hmm.
So eucalyptus, ginger, peppermint, these are very, very good things to have as part of your natural, healthy, everyday living, if you understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying to use it simply as a treatment for when you get a cough or cold, but it helps. I do recommend ginger. Mm-hmm. I do recommend the teaspoon of honey, especially for our children with these temporary respiratory tract infections, particularly the upper respiratory tract infections, because they are potent anti-inflammatory compounds in these natural medicines or natural
foods,
herbs that work. Yeah, so steam inhalation for sure is a really good one. And then a diet is also important, Oscar, where eat the diet that looks like the Caribbean, colorful, you know, colorful fruits and vegetables. Your plate should be looking like a rainbow in a sense, you know, berry, leafy greens, citrus, peppers, you name it. High in antioxidants, beet, flavonoids, dragon fruit. These combat oxidative stress and cellular inflammation that is caused by these environmental pollutants and stuff. Because let's be real, once you're alive, once you're walking down Frederick Street or High Street in Sandu, you're exposed to a vehicle passing by, you're exposed to a man taking a smoke there, which should be illegal, by the way. It is illegal, shouldn't be happening, but you're exposed. So you don't go out there living in a bubble and you say, oh gosh, I don't want to be exposed. But your dietary and lifestyle practices naturally support your lung health and your respiratory function as well. Yeah.
And on that note, let me give some foods that they say would help with lung health. As you mentioned, leafy greens, spinach, kale, and collard greens, antioxidants-rich foods, vitamins and minerals reduce inflammation and protect lung tissue from damage caused by pollution and oxidative stress, as you mentioned before. There, fruits, berries, oranges, apples, and pears provide antioxidants such as vitamin C, carotenoids. Did I get it right? Which help reduce oxidative stress in the lungs and support immune function. Fatty fish, my favorite, salmon, mackerel. Yes. I don't like sardines, but okay, it's there. They are rich in omega-3 fatty acids, which have anti-inflammatory properties that can reduce airway inflammation and lower the risk of conditions like asthma and COPD. Nuts and seeds.
You know, yeah, definitely. Tosca, as you mentioned, the salmon there. I wonder if there's any link with the local salmon and the pink salmon that they will normally talk about. Boy, I wish a fisherman or some nutritionist listening could do a study on that to find out if they have similar, you know, the benefits, the omega fatty acids and the oils like that for them.
I mean, one less expensive than the other.
Yeah, for sure.
Because Mr. Salmon in the grocery right now.
Correct. Listen to this, Oscar. I had a patient this morning, and he said he leaves South Trinidad to go up to Central and sometimes North to meet a specific fisherman who he knows catches fish from the North Coast and is fresh fish. And he makes that a part of his weekly every 2 weeks, he's making that journey to get his fish. I was really impressed with that. That's Mr. Budram, if you're listening, you know, kudos to you, man.
You get it at a better price if you go direct to the source.
And as you mentioned, Oscar, the berries and the apples and pears, listen, we had to also move away a little bit from that. The good local things, the mangoes, the West Indian cherries, the balata, you have a lot of forest fruits that we need to do a lot more education on that is really, really healthy. And so those things you call out, carotenoids, flavonoids, vitamin C, antioxidants, They are such powerful things. Beet is something that we should have in our diet
beetroots.
Regularly.
Yeah, actually, they mentioned beetroots. Well, beets and beet greens.
Yes. Yeah.
What about chenet?
Chenet, boy, I don't have any information on chenet.
Oh, God, let me add it to my menu. Yeah.
Correct. Chenets, though, be careful for the parents listening out there. Anything that is the size of a coin or less, there's a certain age and that you wouldn't give or expose, have children exposed to it. So chenets is a choking hazard in the young kids, so be careful about that. But nothing beats a good chenets and fleshy chenets. A chenet chow also is a good one. Choose bamboo chow. And that, shadow benny. You know this? I don't know if you know this. Do you know what we call bandanya or pandanya or shadow benny? It's a herb that is local and only found in Trinidad and some South American countries. And it has highly potent it combats oxidative stress and it is really good. So a good show, especially as is what the youths are now, I'm guided, calling Java the August holidays. A good show helps a lot.
They call it what?
Java, July, August vacation. So they call it Java.
Okay.
So I thought it was a coffee or something like that. No, apparently is what the younger generations are calling the August holidays. I grew up calling it August holidays. You know, you go August holidays, you go to spend holidays by your grandparents and these things like that. So, but I really like the conversation, Tosca. It's always, natural and flowing. And when it comes to your health, one more thing I'll talk about lung health. And it's the idea that you can strengthen your lung capacity. When we worked in the hospitals and even in the respiratory clinics, even persons who suffer from what we call pneumonias, we give them what we call a spirometer. It's called an incentive spirometer. So there's this little ball that when you blow out into it, you have a mouthpiece, and it pushes the ball up, and you can see how much your lung function is and how much you are able to breathe out. So breathing out is your body's natural way of clearing the respiratory system. So that's why, especially me, I promote breathing techniques as part of improving your health. Because when you improve your lung health, your vibrance, your vitality improves significantly. This is a secret of is that once your lung function is really well, you can speak more, you can have more energy, you clear your respiratory system well. So what we practice and we recommend is practicing diaphragmatic breathing, which helps to clear the lungs, cleanse the lungs from the bottom of the barrel, cleaning all the way up and out, rather than taking these short, shallow breaths in the upper part of the chest alone.
Side note, being an asthmatic growing up, there was this, I know about the thingy that you just talked about, the spiral monitor.
Yes, spirometer.
Yes, spiral. You know the word, right? That word.
Yeah.
I was encouraged to get up early in the morning.
Yes.
And stand by the front door. I hated it. Let me tell you, I hated it. But the fresh air, do some deep breathing techniques.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
for five, out for five kind of thing. So it was almost like a yoga technique that was applied.
Without even knowing it yet.
Where? So I suggest that as well, get up early in the morning when there's no pollution.
As also going down to the beach or we live on an island. We forget that, Tosca. It takes no more than half an hour at any point in time, unless you're really living in Tamana in the middle of the country, to reach by the ocean, right? Make it a routine. Take up a friend, your family, go sit by the ocean, take some deep cleansing breaths. That sea line wind that comes in there, it soothes, it removes mucus, it breaks up any hard cold that is in your respiratory tract. And that breath, that fresh air that you're breathing there coming in from the wind, from the ocean, is really, really therapeutic as well. And in fact, so much so that we prescribe it as doctors in the form of saline rinses and saline drops, particularly for those with those allergic chronic symptoms. Not when it's infective, but we recommend it when it's a preventive measure to keep your airways open. Another thing we recommend for persons who do have childhood asthma is if you can really get your child into swimming, that really helps. Develop the lung function a lot. Wonderful. I really like this conversation today. It's really
nice.
Practical.
what are the foods that we should stay away from? Now, we talked about foods that would help, you know, promote healthy lung protection and growth and so on. If you're talking about children, they say foods to limit, avoid processed meats. I'm sorry, all meat eaters, but they've mentioned bacon and ham and sausages. Anything with nitrates that cause inflammation and stress. So all the meat all eaten, you'll have to refrain from.
Let's be mindful how we see it, state and that, because it's not really meat on the whole, you know, but it's processed meat. So there's a word that is called processed. So what it means is that anything that is meat, it has a lot of preservatives, chemicals, salts. And these are things that are not just inflammatory, but also cancer-causing. The WHO and a few of the international dietetic guidelines, they're very clear that processed meat is something that we should reduce. You know, so go down to your poultry, go down to your fishman, and we have such great memes in Trinidad about, you know, the fish van and the people make so much good quality out there content. Mm-hmm. But go and find them, your local people, organically and catched organically, raised organically. And that is way better than the processed meat stuff. That is where the problem lies. Those preservatives and things that stored in cans and plastic for long periods of time. Mm-hmm. That's where the danger lies there. Yeah.
And, well, I guess the way that you prepare meals as well has a lot to do with health. And if you're talking, because I understand certain ways you cook meats can make it carcinogenic. Exactly. Is that correct?
Yeah. Correct. And, I would love to talk on cooking and diet, because I think cooking, people ask me what you want to eat, like hot food. And hot food is something we're moving away from, I realize. You know, we're doing a lot of kits. And I say the word kits intentionally, because apparently people, it is an argument, kits, what is a kit? You know, a food container and stuff like that. But we're packing a lot of foods into containers and we just quickly heating it up in a microwave and work, and it's not really being heated to a point where it's hot. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're eating a lot of cold food. And generally, that is putting a lot more strain on your digestive system to absorb the nutrients properly and stuff like that. So cooked food, cooked meats as well too, cooked food is very important. And the way in which you prepare it, the way in which you cook it, has a lot to do with its effectiveness and how it's absorbed and stuff like that in the body.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say that we should stay away from hot food, but I can't eat cold food like that. Yes, there are certain foods that need to be eaten at a certain temperature. Yes, I need to have my teas and coffee at a certain temperature. Cold stuff, it had to be very cold with ice in it. this in between kind of thing doesn't work.
Yeah. That's, you know, to each their own as well too. But we live in a hot climate. Yesterday, I think I remember the temperature was 36 on my van at one point in time. So cool drinks are, you know, refreshing and good as well. But when it comes to your diet and your lung health, anti-inflammatory foods and your juices are really, really important as well too. They have potent anti-inflammatory properties, and the pro-inflammatory things that create inflammation, create a lot of fuel for mucus and inflammation and cytokines and inflammatory markers. These are your high sugar, high glycemic foods, as well as your highly processed foods. So anything that has that refined sugar beyond a certain amount, that is very, very inflammatory, especially those artificial sweeteners, foods and drinks that have an excessive amount of sugars in it, that is what is really fuel. It's like you're giving fuel to the mucus, to the insult, whether it's a virus or bacteria, to create more mucus, to create more inflammation. And that's why in this pandemic, one thing I've learned out of the pandemic is the persons who did well and got the COVID and got over it were people who didn't have so much inflammation. So they got the same virus, but their body didn't produce as much inflammation as the person who didn't do well with the virus. And that, when you looked at a lot of the data coming out now, contributes from things like your diet, your stress management, your exercise, your ability to remove inflammation from your body is very, very important as well. Mm-hmm.
And finally, the role of exercise. Because one of the I don't know if it's a, what do you call it, an old wives' tale, but one of the things that they tell you when you get a cold, you got to go and sweat it out. Either you put yourself in a heat, meaning wrap up with, and induce sweating, or you go and take a run, or you go and exercise, or, you know, it's the opposite. They put you in ice, a nice water.
I like this, I like that we're breaking some myths this morning.
Yeah.
Listen, a fever is your body's way of trying to get rid of excess heat. The body is in inflammation, it's in dolor, it's in calor, all these Latin words I remember from medical school. Mm-hmm. It's trying to get rid of the heat. It's trying to get rid of the excess inflammation that is burning through your body.
Mm-hmm.
So wrapping in a blanket and sweating it out to break the fever is actually not recommended whatsoever. In fact, it's quite the opposite.
Mm.
A cool shower, or for kids, you put these cool rugs under the arms and in between the thighs, on the forehead there.
Mm-hmm.
It really soothes. And when you are sick, that is actually the time to rest and hydrate. It's when you're not sick is the time to get moving, exercise, and be active. And when it comes to exercise, when you are sick, you rest. You just
die. Okay, let me redefine it again. So I don't know if it's just me, but if I do have a cold and I feel all stuffy and this cold is on me, I would like to go and take a run, because the actual breathing and getting oxygen into the body and actually sweating helps a lot. So I don't know
that's different, Oscar, from having like a real bad infection where you have fever and body pains, headaches and fatigue.
Right.
And that's, what you're describing there is the cold is like you have a runny nose, a cough, clearing a lot of mucus.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually allergic, especially if you have a history of asthma.
Mm-hmm.
You may have a little bit more, like the Sahara dust is a lot more that week or two. You maybe have been exposed to some secondhand smoke, things like that, and it's triggering the inflammation in your body. So now that's not an infection. You don't have a fever and all the other things that's going on with an infection. That is actually a time to go and take a swim, go and take a run, because now you are using up the fuel that the inflammation is trying to take. And the body has less fuel to put towards the inflammation, and you have less aggressive inflammation by going out there, improving your lung function, taking a run, clearing out the mucus, breathing it out, sweating it out, clearing it out in your urine. And then when you exercise, the key thing also is what you put back into the body.
After,
a lot of people, when they do have allergies and allergic rhinitis, upper respiratory tract infections, we crave the foods that the virus is craving, right? So we want the sugars, we want the fast foods, we want this. And it's actually not you craving it, it's the virus craving it. And I like to go into the psychology behind that a little bit. You had to fight that urge to put the high processed sugar comfort foods in your body when you're sick. Your body's naturally designed. Look at dogs, right?
Mm.
Dogs, when they are ill, they don't want to eat their favorite. Well, now it's chow, but long time we used to be cooking food and things for dogs. They used to refuse the good food that they get excited for, dribbling, drooling for, and go and eat some grass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So similarly, when we are sick, we have to go back to the teas, to the, soothing foods, the soups, the very provisions, fruits, vegetables, because that is what will be anti-inflammatory as well. And then those people who could live your life in moderation, where you have that in your daily lives, together with your little meals here and there, that is your comfort foods. It brings a nice balance to your health as well.
Mm-hmm. We've got 7 minutes to the top of the hour and 7 minutes to the news. Dr. Basdeo, I'd like to thank you so much for coming in today and talking to us. Let's Talk Cancer, feature on Freedom 106.5 FM. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Always a pleasure, Tosca. And Trinidad and Tobago, go out there, expand your lungs, keep your lungs healthy, keep it away from all these cancer-causing things. Get checked if you have symptoms, and go out there, breathe deeply, freely, and have fun under the sun. Take care, everyone. Until next time.
Take care.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.